say a real hearty amen to the sentiments and the statements and the expressions of that prayer. God is good. God is good all the time. God is so mighty and powerful and wonderful, expressions of love and kindness to His dear children. Oh, the mercy of the Lord. This morning, if you'd like to turn with us, I want to turn to some expressions that's found in Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes, we're going to go to the fourth chapter in Ecclesiastes. And I want to begin reading with verse 9. The subject matter and the thoughts upon my heart and mind this morning is that last expression in verse 12, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Notice that expression. I want to start back in verse 9. So my thought this morning, if we had a title for this discourse, it would be a threefold cord. It's not quickly broken. It's not easily broken. But let's get a little bit before this. Two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, we're continuing with the reason for that first expression, two are better than one. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? You see the pattern that's developing here. You see the thought that is under examination and what is being taught us here in this lesson. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Notice that first expression starting in verse 9. Two are better than one. You know, I don't like loneliness. I don't like to be alone. I don't like to be at home alone. I'm not a single type individual. I like company. Now, there are times that when I like to collect my thoughts, and there are times that I like maybe a little space or whatever, but yet though, I'm not alone, because I know that I can leave that place, I can leave that situation, and have company at any moment. I wouldn't do real well without Sister Marlene. I tell you, I love and appreciate her so much, and I'm so thankful that the Lord gave her to me, and I'm very thankful for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for this local church. I'm thankful for each and every one of you, and I don't feel alone, and I hope that not a one in here at any time will ever feel that you're alone. If you ever start feeling that you're alone and the devil starts whipping you down with that, or if your old man gets so heavy against you and the old flesh, the world, and the devil seems like to be convincing you that no one cares and that you're alone and there's no use and that your struggles are in vain, please call me. Please contact me in some way, form, shape, or fashion. And I'll do my best to try to pray with you, to try to speak some words of encouragement. We're not alone. But you know, greater than that, I want us all to understand, amen, that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. And from that perspective, from that concept, from that fact, we are never alone. Although all might forsake us, although all might fail, the arm of flesh will let us down. Companions might let us down in trying times. Children might let us down in trying times. Friends might let us down. Employers might let us down. But I want to tell you, there's one that sticketh closer than a brother. There is one that said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, but I will go with thee all the way, even to the end. We understand that context. There's the Lord was teaching those apostles in their ministry that he was giving them, and in their lifestyle that they would be embarking upon, and the journeys that they would make, and the travelings here in this life. But brothers and sisters, that very principle, it's the same, and it's the same even to us here in the year 2020, that the Lord will not forsake us, that the Lord will not leave us as orphans. He will not leave us comfortless. As we've been talking about the mighty working of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God, the agency of the Holy Ghost, that he will not leave us comfortless. He will not leave us as orphans. God manifests himself. He draws nigh and near unto us when we draw nigh and near unto him. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto you. The scriptures teach us over and over about seeking the Lord, crying out to the Lord, calling upon the name of the Lord. You know, there are several places in the scripture in Joel, and then Peter quoted it from Joel in the Acts. And then Apostle Paul, he uses it also there in Romans chapter 10. And the expression is that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in none of those places does it have a context or a reference far as eternal heaven and immortal glory in that sense. It's not saved for heaven above. But whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, or shall be deliverance. It is a temporal deliverance in all of those places that is under consideration. The Lord is our deliverer. You know, we have those words in the Hebrew for the very name Jesus that comes from that word Joshua, that Hebrew word for the same name Joshua and Hosea, which means saviors. They were little saviors. They were little deliverers in the context that they were in. We understand the deliverances that God brought through Joshua to the children of Israel. But the name Jesus also is derived from that name Joshua, which means deliverer or savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a savior, which is Christ the Lord. Thank God that we have this mighty deliverer. Thank God that we have this mighty fortress that we sung about this morning, who is our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for his people in the eternal sense, if God is for his people in foreknowledge, in predestination, in calling, in justifying, in glorification, then God, your Father, your elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the great Comforter, the Holy Ghost, is for you right here in this life. If you don't feel that anyone else is for you, if you don't feel anyone else, amen, is aiding and helping you, you realize that God is our great help. Oh, at the multiplications of texts that we could go to talk about God, our helper. You Bible readers, you know that that is a thread woven throughout the scriptures. Amen, that God is a great helper of his people. And as you've heard me say before, one of the greatest expressions that I love, when the Apostle Paul, standing before the king there, said, having obtained help of the Lord, I continue until this day. having obtained help of the Lord, from the Lord. Our help, amen, it comes from the Lord. We need to look to the Lord from whence our help cometh. For truly and surely, brothers and sisters, our help, it does come from the Lord. You know, when you start speaking on these things and the Lord comes to your aid and starts enlarging and multiplying in your mind, it's just kind of like the loaves and the fishes. Amen. The Lord breaking them and giving them to the apostles, and as they started feeding them out to the great multitude sitting there in companies of 50 and 100. Oh, no doubt what they first got when the Lord divided them five barley loaves and those two little fish on that one occasion, and break a little bit and gave to each one of the apostles, gave to the 12 to serve it out. It was just a small pieces of the loaves and small pieces of the fish. Oh, and maybe the apostles looked at it and maybe they had thoughts, this isn't going to go very far. What is this among so many people? I won't be able to feed but two or three people with this. But you know, when they began to break it and started handing it out, it never depleted. It just multiplied in the basket. You know, God is a God of multiplication. Thank God this morning, God multiplies. God, we can see that principle, that doctrine of multiplication all through the scriptures. Amen. Thank God. God is not subtraction. Nothing can ever be took from Him. God is not a God of addition. Nothing can ever be added to Him. But what God is, He multiplies. Amen. Now there's the sad note that yes, by nature, we're 666. We're man multiplied. But thank God by the Spirit, amen, we are perfection and complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the mercies and the goodness of the Lord, amen, are multiplied. He daily loadeth us down with His benefits. Thank God for His benefits. As the psalmist said, you know, so many times we think about, well, I feel so loaded down with burdens and with cares and with troubles. Hey, let's think about though, that daily the Lord loadeth us, amen, with benefits. Amen. God's benefits are there, and His storehouse has never been depleted. Matter of fact, His storehouse is not any less, amen, and it's not any more than it's ever been. He's just multiplied it. It has remained the same, and He has divvied it out, amen, to His children that would ask Him. He said, you being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. They asked of you a stone. Are you going to give? They asked you bread, you can give them a stone. They asked of you meat, or you'll give them a serpent. So on with that. In other words, when they asked you of something good, are you going to give them something bad? You evil. You know how to, you have a sinful nature. You know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more does our Heavenly Father, amen, give His gifts, His blessings, His Spirit, His help here in this life to His, amen, believing, acting by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. We see it over and over in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith they did this, and by faith they did that. And brothers and sisters, truly, it is by faith. But you know, every time they passed out that bread and fish, it wasn't depleted. And when they got through, they had just as much and more than what they started with, and they took up 7 basketfuls. And then, you know, there's an expression there that says, straightway they entered into a boat. The Lord put them in a boat. Straightway the Lord did it. Immediately He put them in a boat to send them over to the other side. The Lord wasn't with them. He went to a mountain to pray. But straightway, immediately, right then, He put them on a boat to send them over. And I just don't doubt that they didn't have the baskets, each one of them, 12 apostles, 12 basketfuls. They've had the baskets. The baskets were with them. They still were seeing the evidence of God's miraculous working power. They had the evidence with them. But in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the tempest that arose, in the darkest part of the night, in the fourth watch of the night between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning, while the boisterous waves were boiling and the wind was blowing, Jesus came walking on the water. Amen. And saying, "Peace, be still and be not afraid. It is I." Amen. Aren't you glad, brothers and sisters, that in the midst of our situations, in the midst when we feel lonely, in the times when we feel, amen, distressed and perplexed, we can hear the calming, reassuring, peaceful voice of our Lord and Savior. "Be not afraid. It is I. It is I." Thank God this morning, He is still, amen, the I. Amen. It is still Him. Thank God for that. Now, notice, for two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their labor. We know that two, the strength and the working of two can do more than one. As two is working together, it encourages the other one to work. It encourages the other one, each other in the working, each other to continue on no matter the hardship, no matter how hard that it is. When you have someone toiling and working, attempting to accomplish the same thing, to get a job done, it's encouraging to you when you have someone helping you in the work. We see the apostles when they went forth. The apostle Paul always had companions in the ministry. He had always those that accompanied him and went with him. He had those that assisted in the great helps, as the Bible talks about. Because you see, this is not for one man. This is not, we're not singular. We need the help. We need the strength of one another. Yes, the help of the Lord. But you know, God is a God of means. We understand the only means for heaven and mortal glory is the man Christ Jesus. But while we live here in time, God has given forth and has so designed for help in our life, just like with husbands and wives. God saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone. And so what did God do? God, amen, brought forth and gave unto Adam a helpmeet. Oh, someone out of his side. God didn't take a bone out of his foot to show that the woman would be under his foot. God didn't take a bone out of his head to show that the woman would be the head over the man. But God took the bone, the rib, out of the side. That woman is by, amen, man's side. I want to tell you this morning, I just want to go down on the record. I'm not against females. I'm not against women. Matter of fact, I married one. Matter of fact, there was one that conceived and bore me into this world. I thank God that He created, that God brought forth and gave Adam the helpmeet. That God gave Adam one to be by his side. Because two is better than one. We understand this Bible principle throughout it. Thank God for the sisters in the church. Amen. I tell you, when we all stand in our place, when we all stand in the role and in the office that the Lord has given us and assigned us to, when each one stands in his proper place, that was so emphasized in the Old Testament. If battle was engaging for the protection of a city or working, remember back in Nehemiah's time about the working on the wall, how that they were joined together. They didn't put their clothes off but for washing. They worked together. They all stood in their they're proper in their right place, and all the different ones rebuilt the proper gates that they should build and so forth. They each one had the work, even though there were those that mocked them and ridiculed and made fun of them. And even said, "Why, a little fox come up against y'all's wall, we'll break through it." I want to tell you, friend, amen, our fortress, our fortifying, it's not so much in the natural materials. I'm talking about in a spiritual concept and in a spiritual warfare. Amen. We're in a spiritual warfare. Thank God that God is mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. But you see, with God and by His Spirit and by His grace, He fortifies the weak things. God takes the weak things to confound the mighty. God takes the foolish things as far as the wisdom of this world is concerned. Amen. And proves it out and shows that it is mightier than the wisdom of this world. Little as much when God is in it. Thank God we're not laboring in vain. Thank God our efforts are not in vain. Because there is a true and living God in glory that takes note. And He's for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, that we would even be as the Apostle Paul, to live as Christ, to die as gain, whatever state that we find ourselves in, therein to be content. Amen. Doesn't mean that we don't try to improve station of life and so forth in a biblical, godly manner as the Scripture set forth. But when we have back settings, when we are set back in life, so to speak, when we seem maybe to be defeated in something temporarily, how do we take it? How do we look at it? What do we say with our mouth? What comes out of our mouth? Do we just go into total negativity? Do we just go into despair? Do we start wringing our hands? Listen, we don't have a God that's wringing His hands. And His children should. We should. That's children of the King. A lot of times I think about the question was asked one time in the Old Testament. Why art thou so lean being the King's child? Amen. Why are you so lean being the King's child? Oh, think about that in a spiritual application. I tell you, are we not the King's children? If we are, why are we so lean? Amen. Why are we lean when it comes to faith? Why are we lean when it comes to speaking words of exhortation, encouragement, amen, words, amen, of faith, to speak faith, to have a good report? Those brethren, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. They had a good report. It means a report of faith. Those spies that came out of the land of Canaan, there were 10 that said, "We're like grasshoppers. We can't go in. God has said I've given it to you and you can go in." But here's 10 that's not speaking with faith. Oh, now, don't misunderstand me. I don't believe in going all the way to the other ditch with this modernistic. You speak it, you've got it, and you can demand and tell God what to do. Be it far from that. But brothers and sisters, as I've said many times, it don't matter if you're in the left ditch or the right ditch. If you're in the ditch, you're in the ditch. Amen. I don't want to be in the ditch on the other side. God help me. And just like I'm trying to preach to you this morning, maybe I'm preaching to me and me more so. That we speak words that edify, words that build up, words of faith. It is well this morning. You may feel perplexed. You might feel trouble over the offense of the past week. But let me tell you, God is on the throne. Amen. We don't understand a lot of times and know different things and so forth. Just like old brother Elisha, remember, with the Shunammite woman, Elisha said, "The Lord kept it from me. He hid it." He didn't know why she was coming. A lot of times we don't know the workings of God. We don't know and understand the will of God until it unravels, until it unfolds. For God suffers a lot of things in this life. But dear brothers and sisters, our confidence and our trust and our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes it is. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. You know, if you're alone when you fall, you know, several years, it's been more emphasis upon elderly folks that live alone for them to wear apparatus around their neck so that if they fall, they can press it so they can get help and they won't just fall there. If they're alone, there's no one to help them. There's no one to know that they have fallen. You remember the woman that says, I've fallen and I can't get up. You know, why? There was no one to help. So if there is not two, if there's just one, if you fall and there's no one to help up, to help you get up, I've fallen and I can't get up. Help our brothers and sisters to get up. Amen. When we falter, when we stumble, well, I don't want to push a brother or sister on down further when they've fallen. Oh, but to speak words of encouragement, to try to encourage them to get up. Amen. Help them. Give them a lending hand, an encouraging hand to get up. Amen. And to keep on keeping on in the service of the Lord and in the good way, for truly this is a good way, but it's a good thing to be accompanied along the way, because if we fall, we've got someone to help us to get up. For he that hath not another to help him up. And I've got to hurry along with this to get on down here. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? You know, if we try to be alone, and if we try to make it alone, I've heard folks say, I can live a Christian life. I can live just as good. I don't need the church. I don't need to go to church. I want to tell you, that's a lie of the devil. Amen. That's a lie from Satan. That's a bad bit of goods. We don't ever need to buy into that. You can't get along just as good in this world without the body of faith. Amen. Without the company of the saints. We need the fellowship of one another. We need, amen, the warmth, the zeal. You know, thank God that all the church don't get discouraged at the same time. You know, I'm glad there's been times when I've been discouraged, but Sister Marlene wasn't discouraged. Praise the Lord for that. And there's been some times that she was discouraged and down and out and down the valley that I wasn't. That's the way it is in the church. We don't always get discouraged and get down and out at the same time. And thank God for that. Amen. We don't need to because we need to give the heat, the zeal. If we lack in zeal, if we lose our zeal, if we leave, walk off from our first love, and we grow cold, we need the brothers and sisters in Christ. We need those that are strong, that have zeal, that have fervency to encourage us and to give us of their heat. You see, it'll rub off. That zeal will. When you see those that are enthused about the service of the Lord, when you see those that are up and about and doing, it will encourage you to be up and about and to be doing. Oh, yes. You know, the world accuses old Baptists of having a do-nothing religion. Well, I want to tell you, we have a do-nothing salvation as far as heaven and immortal glory. There's nothing for us to do on our part, but we don't have a do-nothing religion. You've heard me define pure religion, just like the Bible defines it. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Elder Guy Hunt, one time, there was a man came to him on an occasion and asked him, he was talking about the old Baptist had a do-nothing religion. Said there's nothing to do. And Brother Guy quoted him that verse of scripture. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. That's the category that represents service. That's discipleship. And everything that comes under it, this Bible is full of it. It's full of service in discipleship. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world, that's another category. That's personal. Amen. Personal service of presenting our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. So you see in that expression of, as James talks about pure religion with those two factors that he speaks of there. Amen. He's addressing both sides of that. Amen. Of discipleship and of personal devotion and dedication and consecration and sanctify ourselves. How many times in the Bible did God talk about and telling his people to sanctify themselves? That just simply means to set themselves apart. To set themselves apart. Sanctify yourself this day because of such and such. Set yourself aside. Set yourself apart. Amen. That you'll be able to engage. Amen. In this vocation. In this service of our blessed Lord and Savior. And so, Brother God told the man after he had quoted that verse to him, said, "Now you take care of that. And when you do all that, you come back and I'll give you something else." Amen. Brother God said the man never came back. Amen. Asking something like that again. No. Amen. Because that's a plate full, brothers and sisters. That's a plate full. That's all of God's Word. Amen. Teaching us. Oh, what is the whole duty of man? It's to fear God and keep commandments. Amen. This is our duty before God, because God will bring every work into judgment. Whether it's done in the light or in the dark, that doesn't matter with God. Amen. God sees just as well in the darkness as he does in the night. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Well, sometimes we sing a song that talks about that we hate to meet the saints because we're conversationalists. We don't have the words of saying it because we hadn't been fellowshipping the Lord. We hadn't been in a way of prayer. We hadn't been in a way of duty. Maybe we walked in a way we shouldn't walk. Maybe we're going off in a way we shouldn't go. I remember a man some 20, 21 years ago at Mount Olive, always fellowshipping, always around, staying around after church, participating in the lunch and so forth. But there came a time he began to be distant. He started distancing himself. He wasn't identifying himself. He wasn't in one accord, amen, with the body. And even with he'd say he had a headache or this or that, and would go out and sit in the car while his family had the meal and so forth. And but it wasn't too many, many months until it manifested and shown forth, and we knew exactly what was going on. He was doing things. He was acting in ways. He was participating in some ungodly things that he shouldn't have been. And therefore, he didn't have a heart to be around God's people. He didn't have a heart to converse with God's people. He didn't have a heart, amen, to fellowship with the Lord's people. You just observe and you just look, and if you see folks deviate from their norm and deviate from their regular ways of doing and fellowshipping and duty and where they've been faithful, and you see them straying from that, oh Lord, there's a problem. Oh, there's something going on, and we need to be certainly aware of that. This is why in this it is so strong and so telling that we need the help and the strength of one another. And verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord. word. Now this is a woven or a braided cord that's under consideration. What is a cord? A cord is a unit. It is one. This that he's talking about three strands, but yet it is one. One unit. That's why it's not quickly broken. I've often said, comparing to it, talking about a chain. You know, if a car got in the ditch out here, and you had a tractor and a chain, and you hooked it up to the frame of the car, and then to the frame of the tractor, and you started pulling and to pull that vehicle out of the ditch. If the chain broke, where would it break? It would break in its weakest link. That's exactly where it would break. It would break in its weakest spot. And that is the way it is with the church. When the church is under distress, when the church is laboring, when the church is going through things, and there's a pull, there's a burden bearing, many times it will be evidence, it will be shown forth of the weak, of the weak spots. But you know, the Bible teaches us to have mercy. The Bible teaches us to lift up the feeble hands, to rest and to help the feeble knees, to give strength to help bear one another's burdens. If I err, I want to err on the side of mercy. I'd rather go a little further with mercy and try to see. It's a great thing to save a brother from an error. That's what the Apostle Paul taught. Amen. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. When one will heed, when one will listen and turn from their weakness, to turn from their straying, which is a weakness, and be helped by the whole, to be helped by the body. There's a great saving in that, a great deliverance in that, a great blessing in that. But I know there's sometimes there are those that because of the hardness of their heart and the stiffening of their neck and the rebellion and so forth, that temporarily and at that particular time, it seems like you can't help them. It seems like that they won't let you help them. You know, folks have got to let you help them, amen, in order to help them. The Bible teaches us to live peaceably with all men as much as lies within us. Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. If it's ever a time that what I've always believed, amen, that God's children, you know, Baptists, sound Baptists back through the centuries have always been a people that, and I would use a modern day expression, have tried to fly under the radar. Amen. God's people don't try to draw attention to themselves. We just want to live a quiet and peaceable life. That's what we desire. That's what we pray for. This world has never known the church. This world has never been concerned about the church. This world has nothing for the church. We don't get our help from the church, from the world. We don't get our help from looking to the things that the world values and elevates and lifts up and draws their strength from. Those things that seemingly prosper them, but it's for a season. Oh, they will kill us. Yes, they will. They will kill us off. Our help is in the Lord. We must hold steadfast to the Scriptures and to God's precious Word. You know, this cord here that's under consideration, this woven or braided cord, it had to get woven. It had to get braided. You know, it had to have the three strands to be woven, to be braided about. I'm glad of the cohesion of the braiding, of the weaving that the Lord does for His people in a local body of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we can be of like mind and like precious faith and precious order. In this, I want to go to a text to make sure that I get this in right here. In the book of Amos, chapter 3. And I'm going to start reading with verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Then the Lord goes in, the prophet begins to write. He asked them, I believe it's six things here, to go in to the message that he continues on. He asked us this question. And the first question that he asked, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now we understand, we know the answer to that. We know the answer from other passages. We know the answer from the teaching. And Lord willing, I'll turn there and read from 2 Corinthians. That plainly gives us the answer. The answer is no. Two. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? The answer is no. Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? No. Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin or where no trap or no snare is for him? In other words, a bird can't get snared if there's no snare there. Right? So the answer is no. Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken up nothing at all? No. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? No. Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? The question is no. The answer is no. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? Yes, the lion roars and there's something to be afraid of. The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? So the Lord is asking these questions, but the point that I want us to know and understand here is in verse 3 in this expression, of course, the answer is no. So a plain teaching is brought forth here, something that is fully understood. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No, two cannot walk together. Two cannot fellowship unless they be agreed. Now this is the teaching of the Scriptures. This is why, amen, in the body of the church, amen, that every member has to be agreed upon these fundamental Bible truths and principles of God's Word. When one would hold something that is so far-fetched and so far from the truth and so far, amen, from God's Word, it's going to cause division. It's going to cause a schism in the body of a local body of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in order for a husband and wife to have true 100% fellowship and joy and peace, they've got to be agreed. Now, it doesn't mean they're not going to have this disagreement sometimes and have to talk about some things and have to come to some understanding. But the basic premise, the basic foundation there is one and the same. You know, it's a hard road to hoe, as the old expression is, when you're trying to get along with someone, when you're trying to fellowship with someone, but yet their thoughts and their mindset and their thinking and what their perception of truth is different from yours. That's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to endure. It will continuously cause trouble. It will continuously bring about strife. That's why in the local body of the church, we need to unify around Christ. We need to unify around the truth. We must believe that there is a truth. Amen. There is a truth. And truth is not relative. It's not how you wake up every morning and feel about it. Truth don't change. If it's ever been truth, it's still truth. And if it's changed, it's been a lie. Amen. But God is truth. The Bible teaches us just esteem, just observe, just understand that every man a liar and God is the truth when it boils right down to it. Amen. When it comes down to that, when it boils down to that, and not only truth, but to believe in a systematic truth. Believe in an enhancing truth, a complementary truth, a systematic truth, a truth that builds upon truth. You know, I'm glad that the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, the truth in God's Word, it's just like building blocks. It just keeps on building. It is so cohesive. It just continuously goes together like a hand in a glove. But you know, a lie has to keep getting another lie. And when you go into falsehoods, you have, and when falsehood is told, there has to be another one to prop that one up and another one to prop that one up. And you go down a dangerous road. Oh, but the truth, and a systematic truth, to hold fast, amen, from God's precious word. This is why with the apostles, with that 120, as we've talked about the coming of the Comforter, of the Holy Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Christ, there in Acts chapter 2, the very expression and the language says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. They were with one accord in one place. What is that one accord? That accord there. It means they had one purpose. They had one mindset. They had one intent. And what was that one intent? What was that one purpose? What was that mindset? It was to be obedient to the command of Jesus. For what had Jesus told them to do? He had told them to go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. And they were all there in that one purpose, that one accord, for that one reason. To tarry, to stay until the Comforter had come, the power, amen, for service had come unto them, just like Jesus had told them, just like Jesus had instructed them. Oh, that we could come into this place and assemble ourselves and be in one accord. Amen. To be unified with one mind and one purpose. To endeavor to worship the true and living God and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And brothers and sisters, amen, when we do that, amen, we're gathered in His name. Oh, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And if we are here for that one, in that one mind, in that one accord, in that purpose of mind, to worship, amen, the thrice holy God, the true and living God, to endeavor to sing God's praises, to pray unto God and to meditate upon Him. And truly, it is a sweet hour of prayer. Amen. The whole time that we're gathered here in this worship service and singing and praying and preaching, it's an hour of prayer. Even though it lasts about an hour and a half, it's an hour of prayer. In other words, or it's an hour and a half of prayer. Amen. In other words, we're to have a prayerful mind, a prayerful attitude of begging the Lord to manifest Himself unto us, to give us of that we so desperately need of His heartfelt presence, that we would be able to lift up and bless His sweet and wonderful name, because He indeed is worthy to be praised. So we understand that the parts of this chord, that they are identified as a whole. This three strand, this as the scripture says, this threefold cord, these three woven or braided strands, but yet they are not identified as individual strands, but they are identified as one. They are identified as one cord. You know, the word identify, the fact or condition of being the same, the fact or the condition of being the same. You've heard that old expression that birds of a feather flock together. That's true. That's true. Because we usually associate and fellowship with folks that we identify with. That we identify with. Now, I hope the feeling is mutual. I identify with you folks. I identify with you. I've heard you talk. I've heard you speak on different things of the scriptures and different things of life and your perspective and your ideas. And for the short period of time, I say I know you real well, but I know you enough, I feel, that I can identify with you. That I identify you around the scriptures and around the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust and hope that the things that I've preached and the things that I have spoken to you and the conversations that we have had, that you would be pleased to identify, amen, with me. I don't identify with this world. This world system out here, this babbling, if you please, I don't identify with that theology. I don't identify with those thoughts. I don't identify with those ideas. I don't identify with those ways of doing things. Amen. But I identify, amen, with the belief and our articles of faith and our expressions of belief that we have. I identify with those things. You know, that's the thing. And churches used to really emphasize this, but there's been a laxity over the last years. But you know, when you have visiting preachers in, when a visiting minister comes in, and the church invites him, those that are invited, let me be plain. When you invite someone to fulfill the stand, you are assuming not only that their credibility, but you are assuming their liability. If they have liabilities, you are assuming those in identification. And the same way with the minister that comes, he is not only taking unto himself our credibility, but if we have any liabilities, he's identifying himself with our liabilities. That's why that is so important along those lines. That's why the old church and churches of the Lord Jesus Christ have been careful, amen, to only invite in those of a good report, orderly and sound ministers that will break forth the word of God based upon the very belief and teachings of truth as it is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Identity and identifying is a very serious matter. Now and another thing you've noticed in the stand, I don't go into a lot of things about, well, I don't hardly go into any as far as about politics and things. I preach the truth, and sometimes that falls along that line. You can take it and you can use it, but I don't name those things. You hear enough about things out here in the world. But let me just say this morning, you've already been hearing and you're going to hear a whole lot about how that we all just need to join arms together and sing Kumbaya. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I can't identify. I can't arm up with, and I'm not going to arm up with. Now, I'm not going to get a sign and parade down the street or anything like that. I'm going to try to live a quiet and peaceful life. Amen. Basically, I'm going to try to continue on just like I've been going. Amen. I'm going to try to continue on just like I've been going. I tell you, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what faces and so forth along those lines. But I want to tell you, amen, the very sun coming up this morning is a very witness to the faithfulness of God. When you see the sun come up in the morning, it's a testimony to the faithfulness of God. Amen. God is faithful. Amen. Our trust, our faith, our confidence is not in the world or in any individual out here in the world. Our confidence and trust is first and foremost in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to have brothers and sisters, amen, of like precious faith, amen, of belief, of lifestyle, amen, that of reverence unto God, of fear unto the Lord to identify with. If you see a mist in me, if you see me walking in a way I shouldn't, amen, you tell me. You come to me with that. I'm very serious about that. We're to watch over one another for good. We've just had communion and feet washing service. And as we have washed one another's feet, but yet, it's not just for that one time there or two times a year. It's making an identification. It is making a league with one another that we will aid, that we will help one another wash the dust, amen, the dirt of this old world off of each other's feet, amen, that we would walk in a clean path, that we would walk in a good way, that we would walk in a way as the Word of God plainly teaches unto us. And this threefold cord, amen, it's not quickly broken. It's not easily broken. Oh, God, weave us together. God, bind us together that we'll have the strength and we'll have the help, amen, from the Lord and one another, that we'll lend the zeal, amen, that we will lend the hand of laboring and encouragement. That we see the one that's discouraged, the one that is faltering, but to help hold them up, to assist them along the way. Thank God for these wonderful truths. Thank God for His precious Word. Before time completely runs out, let me run real quick to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Starting in verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Notice that. What fellowship hath righteousness? And this righteousness here is doing what is right. When Jesus told John the Baptist, said, suffered to fulfill all righteousness. Talking about the Lord's baptism. The Lord was saying, listen, John, it is right. It's the right thing to do for you to baptize me. Suffered. You may not feel worthy, but you baptize me, John. We must fulfill all righteousness. Fulfill all right doing. And to me, that's in the same context as he's telling us here. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? We can't fellowship the unfruitful works of darkness. We can't fellowship that. We can't arm it up. And by the help and grace of God, we're not going to arm it up. We're going to shun the very appearance of evil. Try to walk in a way that is righteous. Because the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. That's discipleship. That's to following the teachings of God's precious Word. And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord or what accord? Notice that. And what concord or what accord, what agreement, what identity hath Christ with Belial? Now I want to tell you, Christ has no identity. Christ has no accord with Belial. Everything I read in the Bible about the sons of Belial, it's not good. It's not good. No, it's not. You can read that expression several times, identifying, talking about sons of Belial. Sons of wickedness. Children of darkness. That Paul told the Ephesians, you once were that way, but not anymore. Amen. Because you've been born of the Spirit of God. So what concord, what accord, what unity, what identity hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Remember, what is it, the last verse that the old beloved of John the Apostle says in 1 John? Little children, keep yourself from idols. So what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. You ever notice that? That expression that I just read. And walk in them. Walk. That's action. That's movement. Walk in them. In our walk. In our conversation. In the sense of lifestyle. Conduct. Oh, that Christ would walk in us. In other words, that we would walk out in action what the Lord has worked in us. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying to the Philippians. For it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do according to His good will. You know, I would dare say there's not too many folks ever just zeroed in or underscored that. I will dwell in them and walk in them. I hope that you will pay that a little more attention. Hope you'll underscore that in your mind and look at that later on. And walk in them. And I will be their God. I will be their God. Now, that's just kind of like back over in John chapter 1. He came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of flesh, nor of blood, nor the will of man, but the will of God. Not talking about this receiving him or embracing him in order to be born again, but it's talking about manifested sons. And it's the same way right here. I will be their God. I will manifestly be God to them. I will manifest myself. I will show them my help and my strength. Oh, when they walk, when he walks, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Now, he says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. God's people are his people in that, for heaven immortal glory, in that eternal sense, God knowing them for the foundation of the world and choosing, treasuring them in Christ Jesus. But what does he say? That they shall be my people in identification. In identification. All that if Christ is walking in us, we're walking out in walk, in lifestyle, then we are being identified as the people of God. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. All right, there's many other things that could be said along these lines, but I trust that this would be sufficient and be blessing and help to you. We'll stand together, Public Open Door of the Church.